couple of minutes after three. Sitting right opposite me, I have Dr. Michelle from Water Temple, and it is Flowtober, as you are probably well aware from hearing the Flowtober ads on Kiss. And Michelle, how are you? Come nice and close to the microphone.
Sorry, I've never done this before.
You have so. You used to talk to me on the phone all the time.
Yeah, but I've never been in the studio.
Haven't you?
No.
I thought you did
this is the first time.
Okay. Well, welcome to KISS.
Thank you. It's great to see you in your new office. It's exciting for you.
Yeah, it's good. It's still work in progress, but we're getting there.
Everything's a work in progress, Jimmy.
Yes, it is. Life is a work in progress. Floating is a work in progress.
It is. And you know what? I started my day with a float.
Did you?
I had a fantastic 2-hour float before the day even started.
A 2-hour float. Now, the longest I've ever had is an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do many people float for longer than an hour?
I don't think commonly. I think in Australia it's mostly touted for 60 minutes and some people bump it up to 90 minutes. I think in America it's standardised more at 90 minutes.
Yep.
And if people float lovers or want to go doing different levels of meditation or personal growth, then they can go in there. And when I was first introduced to floating, in a book that I was reading, he had spent probably 6-8 hours floating. And there are some really interesting stories that you hear about people that have floated overnight and do things like that. So they float for longer periods of time when they're trying to process stuff, and so they go in there and use it as a medium to not be distracted, so they can go and process emotional issues or challenges that they have, instead of just going, I'm going to have a rest, or you know, a break from technology and things like that for that hour reset. They go in for a longer time and do some processing.
I would think that the long floats would really be real out of body type experiences. When you're in there that long, you really would become completely detached from your body, I would imagine. I mean, in an hour you do, but overnight or long periods, it'd be like taking some sort of psychedelic drug, wouldn't it?
I can't comment on that. I've never taken a psychedelic drug and I haven't slept overnight, but I find that you shift in and out of that theta brainwave pattern, and you're sort of aware where you are, and then you're not aware, and then you know, for me, I go in and focus on something that I want to work on, or I do a level of meditation, and you can go into really being aware of your heartbeat and your breathing, and then you do disassociate from your body. But it's totally safe. Like, it's a really strange concept, I think. You know, when you're in your bed, you're aware of what you're feeling and it's a solid base, whereas when you're in the water, you have greater sensation of what's happening in your body. So you can feel like the slight movement, and if you want to move around in the tank, you sort of, everything's sort of hypersensitive, so you can just slightly move a finger. Remember how they talked about that butterfly, and when it flaps its wings, it's felt
the chaos theory.
Well, when it flaps its wings and it's felt on the other side of the world.
Yes.
If you touch something really gently, then you can move a great deal. So everything's amplified. So that's why when you feel your heartbeat, you can hear it really strongly in your body, and your breathing. If you're rapid breathing, it'll help you move around the tank even more, and the calmer you become, then you don't sort of move in the float tank.
Sure. We're going to be talking about four different topics over Floattober, and today's topic is sleep. But just quickly before we get to that, can you give me a very sort of brief history of floating, when it started, who started it, and
who started it? I think the main person that we all know and relate to floating, or what was called sort of sensory deprivation, was Dr. John Lilly.
Yep.
And he was a was a doctor, but in neurology, and his fascination or interest was a lot about the brain and what was going on in consciousness. And he was doing experiments, but that was in salt water, and there were open tanks, and they had breathing apparatuses and things like that. I can't go into great depth and detail about it, but it was when he met a gentleman, Glenn Perry, at one of his workshops. I think it was at the Echelon Institute back in the 60s and early 70s, and they started working together, and they changed over from salt water because that was too drying on the body, and it was dehydrating. And Glenn was the guy that sort of said, well, can we try Epsom salts? And he, well, they worked out the right proportions to keep the body that buoyant,
yep.
And it didn't dry out the cells. So right. What happens when you're floating is actually it hydrates the cell, and then you don't get dehydrated per se, and your skin doesn't get dehydrated or wrinkly. So it's actually, you have a silky sensation on your skin. It's mm-hmm. really smooth and silky, and you don't come out all prune like you do when you're either in a swimming pool or in yep. the salt water.
Cool. Now, sleep is pretty important, is it? A lot of people do have troubles with sleep, either getting to sleep or waking up in the middle of the night, and it can be very detrimental to your health if you don't get a good night's sleep. How does floating fix that?
Well, there's more than, it's not as simple as that floating fixes that. I think it's a combination of things, that sleep is... and even doing more homework about this in preparation, I don't think it was on my radar that sleeping is one of the main pillars of health. And it can cause, when you're deprived of sleep, it's as dangerous as you being deprived of food.
Mm-hmm. Which is pretty major.
So you can die from sleep deprivation. So uh-huh. it really affects your concentration and your mood and your ability to function in day-to-day life. So it is a huge area that they're understanding more. And I think they're learning more about what goes on in the brain from flotation therapy. I think science needs to catch up with some of the technology, because working with salt, water and electricity is not really a good combination. It's a really difficult medium to be able to create technology or tools to be able to test some of these things. So what happens when you're in a float tank, you're in zero gravity, as I said, we're floating in Epsom salts, and the body actually doesn't have to think about gravity or its awareness of what's going on. And when you're not with noise or external distractions, then the brain actually gets to redirect its energy mm-hmm. into the body, and you can't be stressed and relaxed at the same time. And so the brain actually moves away from the left hemisphere and moves more into that spatial awareness and the right hemisphere, and the brain almost balances itself out, gives more room for the right.
So you're moving away from stress to
relaxation. Yeah, you're moving away from stress. Totally deep, at a deep level of relaxation. And because there is that weightlessness, then the body actually has a deeper level of rest than sleeping. Because
mm-hmm.
when you're sleeping, if you're in pain or you're with a partner or there's noise or you've got distractions in your room, whether people sleep with TVs or so often nowadays people have got their telephones, iPads yeah. and things like that. They all have, even if it's small, but in an accumulated effect, they have damage to the quality of your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when our society is so anxious, being able to reduce the stress in the system, in enabling the body to reset itself, is really beneficial. And then, of course, there's that level of magnesium. They're not sure how much magnesium is absorbed in the tank, but you can tell when people come out. So how,
when you say magnesium, so Epsom salts is
a form of magnesium. It's magnesium sulfate.
Right, okay.
Which is not the magnesium that it has in the spray bottle, which is magnesium chloride, and that's a concentration from the sea. Magnesium sulfate is the Epsom salts, which goes back to England. Epsom, it's a mineral, and it has a different effect on the body. Right. And also with Epsom salts, it's something that you can have internally. And they use it actually in hospitals. So it's a substance that can be used for people with cardiovascular issues. Like, I can't quote that. I can't go into the medical aspect of that. But they can use that because magnesium is used to help with the electrical circuitry system within the body. So they use it to help with the heart. And you need magnesium for many functions in the body, but especially the electrical circuitry system in the system. So heart, which requires a pump,
yep.
as well as the neurotransmitters, and they all need electrical impulses to happen too.
Okay.
But we're digressing a little bit from sleep.
Mm-hmm. But so the theory, though, is if you get in there, you have your float, you are resetting, as you keep saying, your brain as far as you're de-stressing, you're getting in touch again with that calmness,
yeah.
and then so that night when you go home, and hopefully the next night and so forth, you're more inclined to relax in bed and sleep better?
Well, you need it more than once. I mean, most people will get a really good experience the first time they float, except, you know, people who are incredibly anxious and they don't really have a good float experience, and that happens, and people are claustrophobic as well. But after, like, accumulated effect of three floats or a little bit more, then the brain starts resetting because it's sort of, this is a strange sensation the first time around, and then the second time, third time, and it starts accumulating and the body realizes that it's relaxing.
Sure.
And it's floating and it's being supported because the water's warm, the atmosphere's at the same temperature as the body. So, as I said before, you can't be stressed and relaxed at the same time. So when the body realizes that it's a different sensation, and you, even when you engage in thought, because you're relaxed in this environment, you start thinking differently about how you respond to stuff, and you become aware, and there's no distraction, so you actually have to go internally and focus, and that in itself starts helping people relax more. And it increases, not only does it decrease things like blood pressure, but it increases that serenity, that sense of peace and calm, and that lasts longer and longer.
Okay.
And they've got the research, both in America and in Sweden, they've got really good research that they've done on that. Not a lot of people in those trials, but even China now is doing really good research on the psychology to deal with the level of stress and anxiety that's happening globally.
Yep. So if I were to wander into Water Temple and you were there and I said I want to have some floats, in particular because I've got problems sleeping, what would you say to me as far as how many times, how often, and so forth to try and get myself back to having a good night's sleep?
Well, I usually diagnose people with conditions, you know, whether it's anxiety or just sleep, then you try and do at least three floats in a two-week period.
Okay.
You want to do it closer together to help the body reset itself, as opposed to spanning it out once a month, to give your system an idea and get used to the first sensation of floating, because that's strange and you've got it. It's like anything. You do it once, it's sort of like it's a bit of a novelty. Mm-hmm. You start accumulating that and you feel comfortable. You know what the whether you want music on through the float or whether you want it silent all the period of time. You choose the different neck cushions or support and get different body comfortable.
Yep.
Often people might splash the water because they wake up with that jolt and they've splashed salt in their eyes, and that's really uncomfortable. So it's the few times that are required. And what we find with all the people that come in who do it on a weekly basis, they themselves tell us how much better the sleep is, how much calmer they are. And it doesn't matter whether you float in the morning or the evening. Ideally, for people with sleep, they float just before they go to bed. But I also find that sleeping, you know, having a float in the morning improves the quality of your day because of clarity.
Mm.
And you sleep, when you go to bed, you get really deep quality sleep. It doesn't mean it's longer, but the quality of the sleep is
which
there.
Is really important. Yeah.
Hugely important.
So how late are you open at Water Temple as far as if you did want to have a late float?
The last float goes in at 8:30, so the place closes at 10. It's open 7 days a week.
Yeah, so you really could have a late float and be in bed by 10 and probably just pass out.
Which is the best, you know, time to go to bed from the Chinese medicine perspective. You sort of really want to be asleep between 10 and 3 o'clock in the morning to get maximum sleep in that changeover phase from yin into yang.
Yep. And I forgot to mention for the listeners that that's your, I mean, you run Water Temple, which is all about floating, but you're actually a Chinese medical practitioner, aren't you?
I am. I've done that for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And that's probably my primary passion, but I've fallen so much in love with floating, and I think it's a fantastic complement to any modality out there. And I like it the most because you don't have to engage with anyone else. You can go in and do so much for yourself in your body purely by floating.
Mm-hmm. It's a bit like golf. It's a game you can play against yourself sort of thing, but this is, you know what I mean? It's not, it's, if that's maybe a weird analogy, but it is a single person sort of thing. But you can also talk to you about your floating.
Well, yeah, you can talk to us about it. Most people who play golf that I know usually play against someone else. So
yes.
I haven't.
I know, but you're kind of, you know, you're
against your own handicap, I guess.
Yeah, and you're against your own ability, and you're always trying to, you know, make yourself play better or hit the ball better. It's a bit, you know, what you're trying to do in a floating settle sense, I think.
Well, it's funny. One of my clients is a pretty serious golfer, and I've been trying to convince him to float more frequently and that it would benefit him for golf.
Yeah.
And his wife loves it, and she floats on a weekly basis straight after a game, and she feels really good. And it's taken him a little bit of time to sort of come around, but I sent him an article the other day on a golf pro, and he uses it to do the visualization to improve his game.
Yeah, right.
So when I talk about having 2-hour floats or longer floats, which is something that Steph Curry would do, he does that visualization and that muscle memory, and they've proven with some of the research in the States on elite athletes that doing the visualization in that really relaxed space, then it crosses over and the muscle memory is different, and you let go of a whole lot of, other thinkings or the stresses mm-hmm. that are associated with it, and you visualize yourself doing a really good job or hitting the ball the distance that you want, and the muscle memory is there and it's more likely to happen.
All right. So Floatober, it's on at the moment. You've got some great stuff happening, and of course every float that you have goes to SANE. And just quickly, SANE is what?
SANE's a really long-term charity that has been around actually a lot longer than Beyond Blue, and it's a charity that supports people with mental illness. So it's got a whole lot of answering services and does things that try and educate people and support people with different ranges of mental illness. Just doesn't have quite the marketing budget that Beyond Blue does.
Well, it's probably because they're spending it on what it should be spent on. It's exactly helping right. people, not marketing.
Yeah.
So $20 from every float goes to SANE.
Yep.
And if people want to book a float or find out more, floatober.com.au is the place to be.
And that's in High Street, Armidale.
All right. And what are we talking about next week?
Anxiety.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that week. Thank you. Next week. Thanks, Michelle.
Thanks for the invite, Timmy.
No worries. Floating is simple. Just step into a dream pod filled with Epsom salts, lie back, and feel the tension release. During Floatober, book a 60-minute float for $89 and enjoy the benefits of flotation therapy. And $20 will be donated to SANE Australia. Go to floatober.com.au.